Welcome to the very first episode of the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm going to be your host. For this episode, I decided to go a little bit easy and just invite a good friend of mine on to talk about some things going on in the detailing industry, ask him some questions about his brand, see where things kind of go, just have a little fun with it is all we're going to do with this first episode. So please help me welcome Mr. Paint Assassin himself, Jason Bruno.
Hey, there he is.
What's up?
How you doing? I would give you an applause, but you know my situation, so maybe I can try and edit it in after we do this.
How is your hand doing?
It's all right. It's getting better. I can move it a little bit more now, but it still hurts. So. All right, so this is the first episode of the Detail Solutions Podcast. Jason Bruno. It's Mr. Bruno. Let's do a Cliff Notes version introduction, because I know a lot of people know who you are and things like that, but maybe not, might not know everything or a little bit. But I always hate when people give like these super long, drawn out backstories kind of deal. So let's hear a Cliff Notes version introduction.
Right. Cliff Notes. So yeah. I spent 10 years in the Army as an infantry sniper. After I spent my 10 years in the Army, I was in the correctional side of law enforcement. Then after that, I got into the car wash business. And then after that, detailing. And this is where I am today, doing paint assassins and still detailing.
Gotcha. Right. So that kind of like goes into one of the next thing I was going to ask you about is, you know, like how you got into, or where, you know, like how and where did you start detailing? So, you know, obviously, like you just said, car washing, things like that. So like, how did that all start? Where did you?
So, like, go being there, kind of, you know? So. It's going to be a little drawn out. I know you didn't want to.
No. I mean, and I get that part of it. I mean, you know, I know.
So
everybody's got to tell the story.
So like I just said, I was in the military for 10 years. I was an infantry sniper. You know, I seen some stuff in war that a person should probably never see in their lifetime, but you know, it is what it is. And then when I got out of active duty, I joined the National Guard. So I was kind of still in, but doing the 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year type deal. And then I got a job with the Massachusetts Department of Corrections. And I did that for about 6 months, moved down to Florida. And the DOC down here, it's like a $7 pay cut compared to Massachusetts. So yeah. I wasn't about to take that big of a pay cut. And plus the stress that comes with being a correctional officer is not what I really wanted to handle every day of my life for the next 20 years or so. So I got into to a car wash just because it was easy. And, you know, the pay was actually pretty good compared to a CO, believe it or not. And so I did that for about
a lot of people would be surprised that, I mean, like, you know, you can make some pretty decent money in the car wash. I mean, I did it for 20 years and made pretty good money doing it. You know, compared to what people think, you know, like, oh, you're a car washer kind of deal. But what drew you to go to the car wash for a job, or was it just you just kind of looking for jobs and just kind
of? Well, I love cars, man. Like, I've always loved cars. I may not know a lot about like the engines and all the schematics and everything about a car, but I still love the look of them. I love to drive fast and, you know, all the good stuff that isn't mechanical I like about cars, you know.
Right, exactly.
It was a no-brainer to just go into the car wash business. I mean, you get to see cool cars all day. And after that, I didn't really even know what detailing was. Like, I knew cleaning a car and stuff like that, so once I learned the basics of detailing and everything, I've kind of fell in love with detailing itself. And I moved on from just working the lines at the car wash and everything. So after doing probably 2 years of car wash detailing, which is a lot different than, you know,
Exactly what we're doing now.
exactly, a lot different than what we do now. I moved on to working for actual detail shops and learning, expanding on what I've learned from the car wash. Then I got
Gotcha.
in direction. So the rest is pretty much history after that.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean that's the one thing I can definitely say. I mean, car wash detailing to like paint correction detailing or whatever is completely night and day. I mean, like I remember talking to
Even
people and they would be like paint correction. I'm like, yeah, a buff and wax. Like, yeah, I know how to do that. I can do that all day long. And little did I know then that they were talking about something completely different than what I thought of. So what are your, I mean, I know you have a list because you always post up when people ask, but what are some of your favorite products to use that you just like you gotta have it? I mean, like when you came to my shop the other day, like you had some go-to kind of stuff. So what are some of your favorites? What are your go-tos?
I mean, I love Sonax. The Cut Max is really good. The Perfect Finish is a no-brainer for a lot of vehicles to finish down. Same with CarPro, Reflect, Essence, Essence Plus, Clear Cut. Those are pretty good too. I always have those in my arsenal. Has became one of my favorites now. I always have that on hand. But there's a lot of other stuff that I have a list of things I recommend to a lot of people. And the list is pretty big. And to go through that whole list,
No. I'm not asking you to go through the whole
right.
list. We
But
don't
I also have
have
a
that much
list
time.
of things to try, because I talk to a lot of people and they tell me what they're using, and I'm like, oh, well, how do you like it? They'll tell me how they like it. I'll put it on my to get list. And I get and I try, and if I like it, then it makes my personal list. If it doesn't, then it doesn't.
Well, and I can tell you, I mean, when we worked on that dually, and you had me try the last cut, that's definitely something that, will be on my list because I used it the other day, on the Challenger that I did, and it worked really nice. So that's, thanks to you, that'll be one to add to my list, my collection. What's your absolute favorite? Like the hands down go-to?
I don't even know. I don't
Oh
even
no,
have an
too many.
absolute favorite, because every paint is different and every compound reacts differently to different paint. So I mean, I can't really give a definitive answer on my absolute favorite. I
I
mean,
gotcha.
if I had to choose a favorite though, like it would be a finishing polish, and it's a tie between Perfect Finish and Reflect, because those two hands down are probably the best finishing polishes I've ever used.
How about pads? Do you have a
Oh,
preference,
that's
like
easy, man. HDO all day.
HDO? I knew you were gonna say
That's so
that.
easy. But I mean, like I said, there's always a time and place for every pad. You know what I mean? So like I love HDO, and but I also like Buff and Shine pads too, because some of their pads are a little bit more aggressive than the HDO, which sometimes that's needed. Sometimes it's not.
Exactly. And I've learned to appreciate the HDO a little bit more lately. I wasn't super fond of it when I first tried it out. I didn't, like you said, I didn't think, like I didn't think it had as much aggressiveness as I really wanted it to have. But I've learned to kind of manipulate it now a little bit with my cuts to get it to do what I do or what I want it to do. But Rupes wool, that coarse wool pad has been my favorite for probably the past year right now.
I think the
So
only
that's
thing
been
that really separates the HDO from any other pad is their foam interface, that gray foam interface is, I mean, that
Yeah, it
helps
definitely
a lot.
definitely makes it a lot easier, a lot nicer. What about style or technique? Is there something that you feel that you do that's a little bit different, or do you have like a certain way that you run the buffers speed wise, setting wise, or whatever like that? And I know everybody's kind of different. I know everybody has their own technique and things like that,
I mean,
but
I would answer that the same way you just said it was, is obviously I do have my own technique and I do have my own way of doing things because it works for me and I get results. Everybody, like me and you, when we did the dually, we did two different sides and I was using two different methods and two different products compared to what you were doing, but at the result was the same. So yeah, my techniques are probably a lot different from a lot of other people. When I'm cutting, I'm going balls to wall and sending it on the highest speed. And when I'm, finishing down, I'm probably between a speed of four and three, four, maybe even five.
Oh wow. So you're still high with
I
your
mean,
finish then.
it depends on the paint too. Like if it's a black GM, I'm gonna go slower, and if it's like a Ford, I'm gonna go at a rate where I feel comfortable. I mean, like I said, it's all preference to whoever's behind it.
No, exactly. I mean, that's kind of how I used to be. I used to be full send on cut, and then my polish was like a four or a three, somewhere around there. And then I saw a video with Jason Rose, doing some Rupez stuff, and he was talking about cutting at four and polishing down at two, and you just have a little bit better control of the machine, a little better balance. And so I started playing with that, and that's pretty much how I roll now. I'm four and a half on my cuts, and I'm two, maybe two and a half on my polishing out. And I do, I, and I feel like it's a better control of the machine. I'm just not like, rushing through it or whatever. But, then I talk to guys like you, or like I talked with, Cormie at SEMA, just guys that are full send, and that's cool,
I'll tell you what, man. When I went to Cormie's shop, man, that dude, when he says he full sends it, that motherfucker full sends it. So
Exactly.
from that 1 week that I was at, we dubbed it Camp Cormie. So I learned a lot. So a lot of my technique came from working with a bunch of people, like came
Right, exactly. You
with
take a
Cormie.
little bit from everybody kind of deal. Yeah.
Me,
No, that's awesome.
Vincent, who else was that? Jeez, I'm having a brain fart. Tyler, I'm having a brain fart. But yeah, there was a lot of good people there that week, and literally we were bouncing everything off of each other, like
Yeah.
what would you do here and blah blah blah. And it was a very good experience. So I owe a
Oh, that's
lot for
cool.
that 1 week.
Right. So let's jump into paint assassins a little bit. So how did you come up with paint assassins? Because I heard that you were like sleeping one night, you had an epiphany, woke up the next morning, ta-da, paint assassins was formed. Is there any truth to that, or
Not really. So here's the thing. When I got getting into paint correction, I was just learning the basics, and I found out that there was like detailing groups on Facebook. So I was like, okay, cool. So I'll go check it out. And there was one Facebook group that has around what 57K members, I think. I think you know who I'm
Oh,
talking about. I'm pretty sure anybody who's going to listen to this will be knowing who I'm talking about.
okay.
And I went into that group, and I'm not saying that it's a terrible group, but I just wasn't getting the answers I was looking for, or getting like shitted on by other people. And I'm like, well, that's not cool, man. And at literally, you can get like 100 responses on a post, and it's like you kind of like, well, who do I look at? Who do I listen to? It's kind of
Right.
it's
It's
all
all over the
marketing.
place.
So
Yeah.
I spent, I don't know, thinking of back and forth, like, should I make a group? Some other people who have groups, Billy Baggus was one of them. Obviously, he has American Detailer Garage, and I spoke to him
Right.
about, and he kind of gave me some pointers and everything like that. So I try to come up with names. First of all, Paint Assassins was definitely not the first name. So, like,
What were some of the names?
I was like, yo, I want
Do you remember?
Paint Slayers, right? And then I found out that somebody uses the name Paint Slayers, and I was like, well, shit, I can't use that. I was like, well, what can I use? I need something catchy, and I started like wordplay. So I'm kind of good
Right.
at playing and everything like that. So my wife helped me out a little bit, and she was like, well, what about like Paint Assassins? And I was like, that does sound good, and it rolls right off the tongue.
Right.
I did a little design with the wording, and I'm like, I like this. And so I was like, I really want to do something for a logo. And me being in the military and me being, in the infantry, our insignia are crossed rifles. So I was like, I want
Right.
like crossed polishers, because I was like, that's good for me, because it has a little bit of my military background into it, and
Right.
I have the future of my detailing career into it also. So
Yeah.
came up with the cross polishers, and the first design, obviously I thought it was cool, but it looked like crap. I'm not even gonna lie, because I still have the logo, and I look at it today, and I'm like, man, what the hell was I thinking? So got in touch with Dave Christensen, who is a genius, by the way. If anybody needs their logo done, or any business cards or any of that nature, this guy is like the go-to. Good.
I've heard a lot about him doing stuff.
So he made the logo that you see today, and I couldn't be more happier with it, because it's perfect. So that's basically the story behind Paint Assassins. I wanted to create a group that where we had professionals in it, and you can get accurate, good information from some of the best people in the industry, and you could take it to the bank, and it's going to work. And at the same time, I wanted new people to come into a group and feel comfortable, because go to groups and get shitted on and getting talked down to because you don't know something, that's absolutely wrong. And I want that person to feel comfortable, to have confidence that they're going into a group and they're going to receive great information, no matter what level of knowledge you have.
And so how long? Because Paint Assassins hasn't been around for that long, right?
It'll be
What,
2 years next
two
month.
years?
2 years
2 years
next
next month. So and how did you get guys like Cormie and Knox and Andy Ward and Vincent and Tommy and just heavy big hitters, big name guys to come into this group? Did you already know them to invite them, or was it something that you they found the group and then you kind of became, friends with them and
So
stuff?
what I think it was, I mean, I invited people to the group, and people were asking me, oh, what's this? What's this? And I had to explain to them, like, this is a group for professionals, for, paint correction, to learn, grow, and share, whatever. And I think it just spread from just people inviting other people. And once people realized what the group was about, and they kind of just stayed, I guess, and just rolled with what was going on. I mean, I can't really say I brought those guys in. It's all I just I'd say it would probably be the members who brought everybody in, because like I said,
Bring everybody.
the group or the brand wouldn't be what it is without the people who support it and the people
Right.
who, like, I didn't I
No, I just didn't know if you knew those guys already from other groups and kind of invited them.
Nope. I mean, I
If
didn't
it was
know any.
just
I didn't know who really anybody was when I first made Paint Assassins. I was still coming
okay.
up as a detailer too, and like I said, it's all thanks to the members. And I made a lot of good relationships just from the group itself. So,
Right. I think everybody in the group has made great relationships with people that, and again, just because of the camaraderie in the group, and doing exactly what you set out to do of being a group that, you're not getting somebody just, raining on your parade, maybe because you aren't 100% perfect, versus some of these other groups where if your camera angles aren't exactly spot on, or your, job maybe was tougher than it, was, or maybe the client didn't have the budget to do more than kind of deal, and people just trash you because it's not what either they feel it should have been or what they think it should be, kind of thing. So no, I think that's pretty awesome. What's something that's happened because of Pain Assassins that you that blows your mind? Like you can't believe, you're like, holy cow, like that happened. But kind of because of Pain Assassins. Like maybe it wouldn't have happened if you, didn't have Pain Assassins or were
part of Pain Assassins. Yeah, okay. So here's the thing. When I having people come up to me and ask to take a picture with me still blows my mind. I never thought that I would actually have people who would want to take a picture with me. Now, and this is coming from somebody who is a war veteran, right? Like,
right.
I get off a plane in my uniform and I get a lot of thank yous. And
yeah,
I was like getting used to it. I was like, okay, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your support and all that stuff.
Right.
I never had someone, I want to take a picture with you. But now I go to like a detailing event, like, Mobile Tech Expo. I got people like, oh man, I want to meet you. I can't wait to meet you. Or I want to take a picture with you. Will you take a picture with me? It's humbling. It really is.
Yeah.
And that's probably what shocks me the most.
That's cool. I wasn't sure what you would say with that, but that's definitely, I think, something I wasn't expecting. How about a job that you've worked on that's kind of pushed you to your limits and you've overcome? Like, what can you say? Like, what's that one, or do you have that one that you, like, maybe wanted to throw in the towel but pushed through it and came out the other side? I mean, because we all have that, And I think that's, something that I myself feel that, like it happens to me a lot, and I just sometimes just have to step back and take a breath and, think like, what would Noxie do, or something like that, kind of deal, and push through it. Like, cause we all have it. And I know that, maybe somebody who's going to listen to it, might think that, a lot of us are just so amazing, when they have tough times. So, what's one that sticks out to you, that is kind of a reminder to just keep on trucking, kind of deal?
I don't know.
Don't have one. Too many.
There's a lot of jobs where I'm just like, fuck this shit. I'm just going to walk away and, recently, because my memory
dually.
Not even the dually. I mean, that wasn't even that bad. I mean,
right.
You want to walk away. Recently, and this is like,
how about
the Porsche?
Yeah, I was gonna say the Porsche, maybe.
I mean, here's the thing, too, though. I mean, it was 07, and the thing had a lot of rock chips on it, and it had some pretty rough paint. And
right,
I wouldn't even say I wanted to walk away from it, but I mean, it was a little bit of a challenge, but I'm not trying to toot my own horn and make it seem like I'm like the shit or anything. But I mean, it was a challenge to get that paint to look the way it did. It took me
about
2.5 days to correct that car with 2 stages of cutting and then like 2 stages of polishing. So,
wow,
it was a rough one for sure. But I don't, that's probably the only job recently that I can think of that made me just want to be like, fuck this.
Yeah. I mean, I know we all have them. I think that's why I wanted to ask that question. It was just because, if this thing does get any views, the people that, are listening can kind of relate that everybody has.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has that, those days.
You know, and the thing you is, you just want to run your head through the wall. And, you know.
And the thing is, like, there's a lot of people out there that like want to reach that perfection goal.
Right.
And believe me, I'm in that category as well. But I also know that perfection can't be reached because there's no such thing as perfection.
Right. There's no way. I mean, like, you know, and that's the thing. I feel like you. You know, like I'm still in that category of striving to be some of these guys, you know, that I look up to. But at the end of the day, you know, even they're not hitting perfection, even if they're doing, you know, full on wet sands and, you know, just crazy, crazy, crazy everything that, you know, a lot of times I'm just like, man, like, I would love to be able to do that. But, you know, somebody told me at the, you know, a while back, you know, at the end of the day, the client's going to jump in it within probably 6 months to a year, get tired of hand washing it themselves and start running it through the car wash. So why, you know?
Well, here's the thing too. If your customer is getting tired of, first of all, I don't like when people give out these maintenance wash packages to their clients. Cause it's like, dude, you're losing out on business and you're losing out on money, you know, come back to you for your maintenance washes. It's a good way to keep money flowing. It's a good way to keep an eye on the car that you did to make sure there's no problems, because, you know, a customer is going to do it themselves and come back like, what's wrong with my coating, bro? Like,
right.
You know, that's the thing. You should have your customers come back for your maintenance washes. Do maintenance washes suck to do? Yeah, but it's easy. Was it take around 30 to 40 minutes to just wash the car, do the rim, tires, windows, and send it for $50 to $75? Come on.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm kind of like both sides of the fence on that, you know, because I mean, you know, I have my washes that I take care of on a weekly basis. And you're absolutely right. I mean, they're so easy that a lot of times I'm driving away from the client's house, going to the next one or, you know, delivering the vehicle back from the shop to their work. And I'm like, holy cow, did I, you know, like I have to mentally go back through everything I did because it just seems like it was way too fast.
Mm-hmm. But
that's the beauty of doing it on a weekly basis is that it stays clean. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you know, I'm kind of like, ugh. Like, I really don't want to do these washes today. Like, you know, like, I'm tired of doing washes.
It also gives you a little bit of separation from doing all that correction work. Because doing all that correction work you can burn it.
It kills you.
You need a break.
It kills you. Yeah, exactly.
And having those maintenance come in, you can do 3 maintenance washes in a day and then probably start on a paint correction, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I try to tell people, like, always have your customer come back. Offer them their first maintenance wash free, you know, and then.
Yeah, I mean, even if you bill it into the price of the coating, you know, you charge an extra $50, $75 or whatever. You know,
right. Just,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of my pet peeves is some people selling products to customers so they can do it on their own. They're like, and they always say, oh, it'll make it easier for you to wash. Well, no shit. It'll make yourself a wash too. So,
right.
I mean, I understand that you're making money selling products to these customers to do it, but that's just a one-time profit.
Exactly. And you're only making maybe 15%.
Right.
Yeah.
I try to just tell details, have them come back. Just have them.
Right, exactly. Oh, it's very smart. What's something that you haven't done yet but are looking forward to do? And I mean, this could be something like a car. This could be just something in business. It could be something in Paint Assassins. Like, you know, what's something you haven't done yet but want to do?
I want to start my trainings. I want to start Paint Assassin trainings. That's something I really want to do. I've been thinking about it for since the beginning of 2020. Actually really thinking about it. I thought about it last year and I just felt like I didn't have enough knowledge to teach people yet. And I still
Right.
feel like I don't, but I'm also this past, what is it? It's July, right? Yeah. The past 6 months, I've been just filling up my head with as much knowledge as I can to pass on to people, which, you know, brings me to the project that I'm working on. So,
right.
Hopefully, you know, maybe by the end of the year, the start of next year, I'll be able to do the paint assassin trainings and everything like that. I want to just make it worth it for the detailers. I want to, you know, make it affordable and make it worth it for both of us.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And also SEMA. Exactly.
SEMA, yeah. Yeah, you know, a lot of people were asking about you when I went last year.
Well, that's just because the belt was there.
Yeah, probably. That thing made me famous.
Well, that was a pretty good idea, man. I'm not going to lie, because you were the one who came up with the idea. Hey, can I take the belt to SEMA?
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it was a little bit selfish, you know.
I didn't care.
I wanted to ride the coattails of the belt.
Dude, I don't even have the belt right now, okay?
I know. Doesn't Vincent still have it?
Yeah, it's in California.
Yeah. It's awesome. So I guess, like, my next question, I don't know, maybe this will kind of, maybe you kind of just answered it, but, you know, what are some goals that you have for Paint Assassins?
Well, yeah, the training is one of them. I don't know, the project that I'm working on, I don't want to really say what it is yet. There's a few people that know what it is. You know what it is. I wasn't even aiming to do something like that. You know, when the quarantine started, I was like, I need to do something, man. I need to do something with my life. I need to keep myself busy. That's exactly what I did. I just started doing the project that I'm working on now and gave myself to the end of the year to complete it. And it's almost there. I mean, I'm 6 months into it and I think I'm on track with it.
Right.
I want to have a facility to be able to hold the trainings as well. So I've been looking all over the place in Florida right now for a facility, and it's
right.
It's annoying at times, you know. But
because some places are too big, too expensive. Some places are too small, but just right. And
yeah.
Yeah.
But it'll happen. I mean, I'm
right.
Not giving up on it. You know, it is a goal of mine. So I have a long-term goal list and a short-term goal list. So,
gotcha.
I mean, those are some goals right there that I want to have for Paint Assassins. The website is one of them that I'm still working on right now too. So,
yeah. You got to make it easier for people to buy the merch, man, versus having to message you and then you do it.
I know. But I also like it that way. I like to communicate with my customers, you know?
No, I get it. Well then what you need to do is you just need to start doing all the printing in-house and do it that way. And then, and then you can keep up on top of everything.
Yeah, that'll be when I get the facility going.
Yeah. So is there somebody that you've met that changed your perception of them for good or bad? Like maybe somebody that you held to high regard and then they just ended up being a total dick bag, or somebody you thought was a dick bag that actually ended up being really cool.
Well, I'm not gonna.
You don't have to name names if you don't want to.
Who have I met that I thought was a douchebag but turned out to be a pretty cool guy?
Or somebody who was good, yeah, you thought was good that ended up being a douchebag. I mean, it could go either way. I mean,
Is a douchebag, so I'm not answering that part of it.
No, I gotcha.
Let's see. I don't even know, to be honest.
I mean, it could be maybe somebody you thought was really good and they're not, or somebody you thought was absolutely horrible and ended up being like really talented. I mean, it just however you thought of them and they weren't. I mean, it's just a. You know, has there been anybody who's,
well,
if not,
here's the thing.
Say nobody.
No matter what people say about other people, and a lot of people tell me what they think about a lot of people, I always try to keep an open mind because my perspective on somebody may be different from somebody else's.
Right.
So I can't really say I thought anybody was a complete douchebag before I met them. everybody who I've met personally, they have all been who they are, you know, on Facebook or online. I mean, there's no different to their style. When I met Tommy Davis, man, that dude is as cool as a cucumber, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, hey, man, I swear to God, it was like watching an episode of Cheech and Chong. He's cool.
Yeah, Tommy. Tommy's a good guy. I've gotten the chance to meet Tommy twice now. The first time was at the Daytona truck meet, whatever that thing is called.
You last were there?
Yeah, he was there.
I know. No, you were there because I was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I was there. I was there. I was there with I was there briefly. I went Sunday because I was busy on Saturday, so I went
Sunday I went home.
Yeah, and then I met him at SEMA again. Mm-hmm. I got to spend a little bit more time talking to him at SEMA, just because by then I kind of knew him a little bit more through Facebook and everything. And then of course I was hanging out with Vincent and Rohan and Josh in the Angel Wax booth. So,
thinking about that, there is one person that, you know, I didn't think that they were a douchebag, but considering that they were a little older than I was, I thought they'd be a little different compared to how I do things or how I quote unquote party. Was Bill Martin, man. So when we all met up in Louisiana, man, I'm like, oh, I don't want to, like, you know, offend him or anything like that, because, you know, I'm like, you know, maybe 15 years younger than him,
right?
Like, I don't want to, like, you know, offend him and you know, make him turn out to be like the old grumpy man. But man, he was cool as shit too, man. He was hanging with the young ones too. He totally not what I expected from a man of his age. That dude,
right?
He can work with the best of them, and you know, he can hang with the best of them.
Awesome. Hang on one second. All right. And so lastly, because we're kind of coming up on 36 minutes here, and I don't want to go crazy long with this. We might have lost people probably at the 5 minute mark anyways. The Pain Assassin Awards, they're coming up.
Yeah.
Do you wanna tell people about them? You know, how they're gonna be able to vote? Do you wanna give a look? Because I know you post on the pages or on the mm-hmm. Pain Assassins page a little bit, but it doesn't seem like there's. I mean, at least when I kind of look at it, I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of questions or comments or things like that. So maybe this is a way for you to kind of, you know, explain it to everybody, let everybody know what's going on, how it's going to happen, where it's going to take place, like what your plan is for, like, you know, whatever you want to unload on it.
Right. So the reason why I wanted to do the Pain Assassin Awards is I wanted to expand the recognition that Pain Assassin gives out. You know, we do the Paint Direction of the Month. We do the Reflection of the Week. My Instagram is always giving shout outs to a lot of people who do fantastic work, or if they tag Pain Assassins, I always add their picture or video to the Pain Assassin story. So it's just another way to show recognition to the detailers and to give more back. Obviously we do the Paint Correction of the Year, which is a pretty big deal. I love that. And I'm still tweaking with how we're going to do Paint Correction of the Year. Like, the first year, we did it just based on likes. You know, the second year, we did a whole bracket type thing. I don't know if I want to do that again because that was just too much. This year, you know, we're doing it where whoever wins Paint Correction of the Month gets an entry into Paint Correction of the Year, which will be a blind voting as well. It'll be a blind voting. So no names will go along with the pictures, and everybody will get a chance to vote on which picture they like the most. So with the Paint Assassin Awards, you know, we got the Paint Assassin of the Year, we got the Up and Coming Assassin, and then we have the Distributor of the Year. There's only three awards. There only needs to be three awards. You know, the Paint Assassin of the Year is somebody who represents the industry in a good way, somebody who does fantastic work, who helps people out without regard, and is also willing to learn more themselves. And the same thing goes for the up and coming assassin too, is just somebody who is just getting into paint correction and, you know, has shown a tremendous amount of improvement. Distributor of the year is pretty much self-explanatory, but right. it goes beyond just the company. Like, we see the IDA awards do the distributor of the year as well. So, you know, they give the award out to the bigger companies, but I feel like, you know, the actual distributors such as, you know, Vincent Gentile with, you know, Angel Wax SoCal, or right. Jace Price with, you know, The Last Detail, who does The Last Cut. Those guys are the real distributors. You know, they talk to the clientele. They, you know, give tips and tricks on their own products. And, you know, they take the time out to actually communicate with the customers. So that's right. where I want to do distributor of the year, to actually recognize the actual distributors of the companies that they distribute.
Right.
To.
Right. Not just the big conglomerate kind of deal. Right.
So it's just a way to just give recognition out to the small guys, you know. And the way that it's going to go is, I got the nominations already in. They're already locked up. I'll announce them August 1st. I was going to go with three nominees, but there were so many good names that I couldn't just pick three out of the six.
Right.
So there's going to be six names in each category. I'm going to create a survey where everybody can go on the website and vote for who they want to win the award. So I'm going to do an award show on Facebook Live at the end of the year. Not sure on the date yet. I'm not sure on the place yet either, but I'll figure that out as soon as the time gets closer.
Right.
I'll announce the winners on Facebook Live, kind of like an actual award show on like TV. You know, I want to make it something like that, something different and something cool. And especially with, you know, coronavirus going around and everything like that, don't want people in a place together anyway.
Right. Yeah.
I think I would get enough traction to do a, hey, come down to Florida.
Yeah.
Announce these awards.
Right.
So that's probably the biggest reason why I'm doing it on Facebook Live.
Yeah. I mean, you could always crash the IDA awards at and do them there. But yeah.
So we're going to have trophies. They're going to be like these crystal trophies, you know, etched in like the cross polishers and everything like that.
Right.
And the belt is here to stay for the paint correction of the year. So that was voted in, where the belt will be the forever award for that contest.
Right. Now about the belt, because Patrick's was a little different than the prototype he made up. Wasn't his black and yellow?
His is black and yellow. Mine was just black. I just wanted to, like I said, that was a prototype. I wanted to see how it was going to look, how it was going to come out and everything like that. So I already had it in my head that the winner was going to get the yellow belt.
Oh, okay. Because I thought that looked pretty sharp.
Oh, yeah.
If I ever win it, I'm going to pull a Stone Cold though and put some rattlesnake skin on the inside.
I can do that for you.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to win the month first, and they still haven't done that. So winning for the year is a long shot for me. I get stuff that's too new, man. Some of these guys that are winning this stuff, I don't even feel bad for losing sometimes, because I know that a lot of these other guys are just getting absolute hammered stuff and making it look just mint. So I don't even feel bad about that.
Oh, well, this year's paint correction of the year contest is going to be pretty wild, man, because I already know some of the entries. And it's, oh boy, it's going to be a fun one to watch this year.
Yeah, I know you told me one, and I'm kind of giving up.
Yeah.
to that. All right. So that was kind of about it. All I had, you know, I think that was a nice intro to first episode. Got to know you a little bit better, I feel. I mean, we kind of talk every day, but not like this. So, man, I appreciate you being my first guest. Hopefully, you're not the only guest ever.
I was honored, man. I really was honored. This is the first podcast I was ever on, so I'm pretty excited and pumped. I mean, even though we're friends and everything like that, I do appreciate you wanting me to be the first one. And I really do hope that you get a lot more people that want to come on or agree to come on, too, because I feel like this will be a little bit more relaxed compared to the other ones out there. And there are some good ones out there, don't get me wrong. But
right.
You create a platform for the little guys, which is awesome.
Right, and honestly, you know, my whole goal with this is to talk to people that I want to talk to, like people that I want to know a little bit more about, like detail guys that I want to know a little bit more about that maybe, you know, maybe I'm just not afraid or whatever, but just don't feel like reaching out to them on a text or a phone call, or maybe I just don't feel like I know them enough to kind of do that, but I want to get to know them. So maybe if I invite them on in a podcast type setting and ask them, you know, some fun questions and make it, you know, like you just said, just kind of make it casual and simple. It's a good way for me to kind of learn about some of these other guys and girls out there that either I look up to or that I kind of notice, like I see their work in the groups and just kind of, you know, blows me away kind of deal. So that's kind of, you know, my goal with it. So yeah, man, I appreciate it. Unless you got anything else to say, I guess we can just kind of cut it there and then I can edit all this stuff together and try and drop it here sometime soon.
All right, man.
All right. Well, thanks, Jason. I appreciate you being on. Jason Bruno, ladies and gentlemen, from Pain Assassins. www.facebook.com/painassassins.
Website coming soon.
website coming soon. Instagram is at paint_assassins_.
Yep, bingo.
Okay. So at paint_assassins_. No Twitter, no Twitch, no Reddit, no OnlyFans, none of that stuff. No.
Nope. Those are only two social media platforms that I have.
Yeah, I think that's all I got too. All right, buddy. Well, you have a great night, man, and I'll shout at you later.
All right, man.
All right, buddy. Take care. Bye. All right, everybody. So that was Jason Bruno. We really appreciate that he was on for our very first episode. Next episode, whenever we do this, I don't know if it's going to be a weekly or a monthly type deal. But on our next episode, we're probably going to have one that everybody will want to pay attention to just because of the little back and forth rivalry, bromance, as it was dubbed last year. We're going to have Mr. Aaron Knox, one of the founders of KXK Dynamics. He's a worldwide tester for CarPro, for probably a whole bunch of other things that we don't know about. The guy's kind of a little bit of a man of mystery. So next episode, stay tuned. Aaron Knox. Thank you.